This is the Leadership Forum.
Consider, if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
Hello and welcome to the Leadership Forum right here at Hope Media, and you can get us on Hope FM, on Hope TV, and on our social media platforms at Hope FM Live, at Hope TV Kenya. I hope that you're doing well. My name is Grace Mutiso, and a happy holiday. Wow, you know, it's been an interesting one. I talked to a friend early on today and said the holidays are just too many, and I agree, too many, but you get to rest. Bishop is also happy.
Yes.
His holiday. You're well?
Yes.
Holidays are good, isn't it?
Holidays are good. Except when you're retired like myself. Every day is a holiday.
Every day is a holiday.
There's very little difference. You know, when we were in formal employment where you go morning, come back evening.
Yes.
You have Monday to Friday. So when you get a holiday, it really is a holiday.
Oh, yes.
But when you are on your own, a holiday is not welcome. If you take a holiday, it means food for that day is gone.
Oh my, yeah.
Yeah, so it's different.
Yes.
It's different.
It's interesting the way one person celebrates, the other person says, oh Lord, please, no more holiday.
Not another holiday. Yeah.
Every day needs to be a working day, but you are happy in all seasons.
Yes.
You've been keeping well?
I've been keeping well. I'm well, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, we are good. By God's grace.
Amen. It's been a long time since I asked you how are you doing as chair of ESCC, because we promised on this platform we'll be praying for you.
I hope you are.
Yes. So how are you doing so far?
I think we are doing well. It's a very volatile, slippery place. But God is helping us to do what we should do. And it's you people who are the observers out there. You can tell us whether we are doing well, because we serve the public and there are certain expectations. So from within, we do what we can within the parameters that are available to us. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any specific thing you'd love us to pray with you and your great team?
Yes. Pray with us, because interestingly, election seasons tend to be harvest time for looters. Everybody's looking for whatever money they can get, but unfortunately, they are looking in the wrong places. They should be going out there, do some business, do some work, but unfortunately, they look into the kitties that belong to the public. And so it's a time like almost, you know, I was seeing the other day, on in the news, in Ahero, where the birds had invaded the rice farms in large numbers, and the farmers were very frustrated because they chase them from this side, they go to the other side, and they want to harvest what they did not plant. And it gave me the same picture of what we are also doing. We are chasing these birds, and when you chase them from this side, they go to the other side.
Oh,
and they are always coming out with creative ideas. But we are also upping our game in the same. Yeah. So we are trying our best. So pray for us that we do not end up in a situation where we are overwhelmed by the work that is there before us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's pray. We can pray now. Yes,
amen.
Let's pray.
Why not?
Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful that you love us and you call us your own. And Father, on this platform, you have privileged us to be meeting with Bishop every alternate Monday. And we don't take it for granted. Thank you for the great assignment you've given him at ESCC together with his team. And Father, we pray, just as he has presented this request, that Lord, they have a lot to do. And at times they can be overwhelmed and have that feeling, oh God, we hoped you've closed this, but something pops up.
Mm.
We ask you in Jesus' name that you would strengthen their hands mm-hmm. and their hearts, that they'll not get tired of doing the right thing.
Mm.
Our desire is that this monster called corruption would end in our nation.
Mm.
So Lord, we pray for Bishop and his team, that you'll strengthen them, guide them, give them wisdom, oh God, even the strategies, because you're the greatest strategist on earth, the strategies they need to use to be able to cap this and just help have this a menace of corruption be done in our nation once and for all in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we know over the season it's been said that during electioneering season, a lot of money is being stolen. But we pray that you're able to turn this story around for
Amen.
Us as a nation,
Amen.
Kenya. May this be the year, may this be the season that it be said it stopped.
Mm.
It stopped, Lord. That's our prayer. And we're joining our faith together as audiences, not only in Kenya, but across the globe, to commit Bishop and his entire team at ESCC before your hands.
Mm.
And we know that victory is their portion.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Wow.
Amen. It's done.
I feel good.
Karibu. So together with your team, for
yes.
those who are listening, we are praying for you and
Amen.
The Lord has had
Amen.
Be encouraged.
Thank you.
Most welcome,
Very
Bishop.
Good.
Amen.
Very good. We thank God.
Amen.
Yes.
So we can now get to matters leadership.
Even that is leadership.
Yes.
Yes. Those are matters leadership.
Yes.
We really thank God for the opportunity to provide leadership in that space.
Yes.
Which is not an easy space, but God is helping us.
Yeah. And be encouraged, yeah. Bishop. A number of us are praying for you.
Thank you.
Yes.
You have just prayed.
Hey, and I know there are millions of others. If they
yeah,
had
I meet,
the opportunity,
I meet
they would.
Others who pray. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hey, be encouraged. We are putting stones like Moses.
Amen.
And ensuring your hands are up
Amen.
Until you receive victory.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
We began seasons of leadership.
Yes.
And we mentioned there are four: spring, summer, fall, and autumn. And we began with spring last time we were together. So maybe you could just share briefly what it was about, and then we get into what you've prepared for us today.
For those who were not with us last time when we started this new series of discussion on seasons of leadership, this came about because I realized that as leaders, leadership is not a straight journey.
Yeah.
You go up and down, you go great times, you go through times that are not so great, you face different kinds of situations and challenges. And for some reason, I was reminded of the seasons that we go through.
Yes.
For us in the tropics, seasons are not so distinct. So when we talk about seasons, we are not very clear. But when you are in the other parts of the world, the northern or southern hemispheres, you find that seasons are very distinct, and each season comes with its own demands, pressures, opportunities, challenges, that determine how people behave, how mm-hmm. people conduct themselves. I happen to have lived in such an environment for some time.
Yes.
And you could see how even the moods of people change, you know, because of the season that is there.
Mm.
So when you talk about winter season, when you talk about spring season, summer, autumn or fall, as the Americans call it, autumn for the Europeans, fall for the Americans.
Mm.
Each of those seasons comes with its own mood, as it were.
Yeah.
And it comes with its own demands on the people that are living in that kind of environment.
Mm.
So I thought this would be a great analogy for us who are in leadership to just appreciate what kind of things happen in the various seasons of leadership that a leader may go through.
Mm.
So we started with the spring season, And we say that spring season, just like spring for those who have lived in the in these kinds of climate, spring is a time when those things that looked dead, those things that were completely covered with snow in the winter season, then begin to come to life. Mm. There's a new beginning. There's a freshness.
Yes.
And people look forward to spring. There's an anticipation that comes with it. And so in leadership, I equated that to two kinds of leadership scenarios. One is those people who are just getting into leadership, the young people. You're getting into your first space of leadership. You're getting into a new appointment. You could even be an older person, but you're getting into a space that you have not been in before, a demanding responsibility. It comes with that anticipation, excitement. People are congratulating you, or, you know, getting a new job or getting a new assignment or a promotion. And you are also very excited about it, and you want to move the world. You want to do things that people have never done before.
Yes.
And that excitement in the spring season.
Mm.
So that's what we were talking about the spring season and the kind of things that happen in that period for leaders.
Yes.
And so we looked at some of the realities of spring leadership. We talked about some of the challenges that come with that season. We did not get time to completely look at what happens there,
yes,
especially in terms of the disillusionment that sometimes comes with that season. Mm. Some of the tasks and dangers of spring.
Yes.
What are some of the dangers of spring? So I thought maybe we could just look at that briefly, and then we can move on to the next season.
Excellent.
During this session. Yes.
That's fine, Bishop. Let's dig in now.
Let's dig in. Now, dangers of spring. Like I said, spring is a season in leadership where you are getting into a new space. Either this is your first job, you graduated from school, or you have been out there for a very long time looking for a job, and finally you get it. And assuming that you get into that place of leadership, so you are not just getting into ordinary work where you are in someone's hands, but you are actually getting into a place of leadership. It can be in a small department. It can be a branch of a big organization. It can be the organization itself, where you are moving from one place to another, and now you have come, you have been set into that place. There are many things that come with that season. And some of the dangers that come with that, one of them, especially for the younger generation and younger leaders, or people who have not been very much into leadership position, part of what happens is there's a sense of pride that comes with it, because you have entered into leadership. And there's a level of arrogance.
Those are heavy words, Bishop.
Those are heavy words, but
start slowly.
No, we are talking about dangers. Dangers cannot be small. Oh, they are heavy.
I hear you.
But they happen.
Yes.
So that you may not express it. You may not even know, actually, that you are being arrogant or you are being conceited.
Yes.
You know, those kinds of things. And we see it all the time in the lives of those people who have just got into leadership, especially if those leadership positions are prominent, visible, celebrated.
Yeah.
You feel like, see where I have got, you know, you know, my the strength of my hand.
Oh my goodness!
The brains I have,
yes,
and you know, the connections have got me into this space, and you begin to talk to people like, who do you think you are, you know, because I am there, so and so. So it comes with that arrogance, especially in the beginning seasons. If you think, for example, let's look at the national leadership.
Yes.
If you think, for example, some of the, when a new government comes into place and some of the people who get into various ministries, you hear them talk and you think they are going to move the world. You yes. know, they talk with such a, what can I say? Arrogance and pride, and like, we now are going to move this nation to, you know, I remember during the 2003 change of government, where the new team was saying to the former president, go back home and look after your sheep and watch how government is run. We are going pride. To show you how government is run.
Yeah.
And indeed, they got into it. It was not. It was less than 3 months when things started falling apart.
Yes.
The dream team was no longer talking. It ended up with LDP members being thrown out of government because they couldn't agree. So from there on, now they are fighting battles because these people have been thrown out, now become opposition, who are partners.
Yes.
And now you realize that life is not as nice and as easy as it looked.
Yes.
So, and this happens, it can happen within an organization where a new person takes over a department and maybe the person that was there before was not doing so well, especially in their sight. And now, they are, like also saying, step aside and see how leadership is.
It's done.
How leadership is done.
Yeah.
But you soon discover, hey, this thing is more than
I thought.
Because, like I think I said here, when you are on the stalls, in the terraces, in a stadium, watching a soccer match, you can see how the players are missing the ball. I mean, how they could have kicked that, passed it to so-and-so, and so-and-so would have kicked it in, and how can you... And we make so much noise at them.
Yes.
Until you have your own opportunity to get there, and you can't even see the ball.
Yes.
Leave alone, kick it outside. You are running all over the place.
Yes.
So this arrogance is a common thing to younger leaders, people who are getting into leadership, prominent leadership for the first time, people who have not drawn a lot of experience,
yes.
They tend to have that feeling of, I am going to show you. I am the Messiah that you have been waiting for.
Yes.
And, unfortunately, you sometimes realize that it is not as easy as you thought.
Are they doing it knowingly or unknowingly, Bishop?
Sometimes it's knowingly. Many times it's unknowingly.
Okay.
For some people, it is very knowingly. They just want to show you that they have arrived and they are going to demonstrate what this thing is all about.
Okay.
The sense of pride in this country, unfortunately, we have seen it in a few people at national leadership level. We don't need to name names. But I'm thinking of two ladies in particular, unfortunately.
I'll give you a man.
You'll give me a man.
I just remembered of a man.
Yes, men are too many to be mentioned.
Okay, give us ladies.
So these ladies got into very prominent position at different times. And it's the air that they are carrying around and just the sense of, you must know who I am and so on. But it didn't take long before they were out. The second one I'm thinking about, it was the same story. You know?
Yeah.
Ordering people around, you know? I don't want to name names, but you must know them. And they were out.
Yeah.
They were not successful. They were not succeeding. It is very unfortunate when leaders get into that kind of a scenario.
Mm.
And to me, it shows a sense of immaturity. It's a sense of immaturity.
Yes.
I have told you myself, just in case you think, for me, I'm so nice.
Oh, tell us.
Now, I've told this story here before in a different context, but I remember when I became the national director for the Fellowship of Christian Unions. And at the same time, I was also leading the East Africa group of focus. So I would travel to Tanzania, I would travel to Uganda. We were also helping South Sudan. We are helping Ethiopia to set up. So really, you have this very significant role as a young person who just graduated from the university. So I remember one time when I traveled to Kampala. I was going there for a week to just lead some leadership training and discussions. And every day, I was getting calls from Nairobi, from my office.
Yes.
And I must confess, it was feeling very nice. Because in my spirit, I was thinking, at least they know how important I am.
I'm really needed.
I'm really needed. Mm. You know, they have to call me to ask for this and to ask for the other. And what do we do here? And what do we do here? Who should we talk to? And I would give them guidance, and it would work.
Yes.
And then they call again, and I'm told, oh, there's a call from Nairobi for you. And I, excuse me, and I go and pick the call and come back feeling very proud of myself.
Yeah.
Until the day when I was coming back and got into the flight and from Entebbe, and taking off into the Lake Victoria. You remember that story?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly it occurred to me that what would happen if this plane does not take off and we all plunge into the lake? Who would the Nairobi be calling? Who would my office be calling? So it means I would have left that office in darkness.
Yeah.
Because all those things they have been calling me for, it means I'm the only one who knows and I'm the only one who can help.
Yes.
And it sobered me up to the realization that there's no way I can do leadership on my own. I need other people so that in case I plunge into the sea, the work still continues.
Wow.
So in the 45 minutes that we flew from Entebbe to Nairobi, I had restructured the whole organization and created key departments where we then put what we call directors in each of them. And then for me was to meet with these people and share with them what that department requires, so that anything that I knew about that area, they knew. You know, within no time, I remember going to places and nobody called me.
And how did you feel?
Since I'm the one who created it, I actually felt good.
Yes.
I actually felt good because I realized that indeed this work can go on without me.
Good.
You know?
Yeah.
But that comes with experience. That comes with those kinds of moments of a realization, where you discover that you cannot run this thing alone and you cannot run it only in your way.
No.
So springtime has that danger.
Yes.
Of self-conceit, of self-deception,
yes,
of arrogance, of pride. And you want to show everybody that you are the most important person in the world and that you... Without you, the organization cannot move, the department cannot move, the nation cannot move. You know, those kinds of feelings are part of the springtime.
The dangers.
The dangers of springtime. The other related one is romanticized vision. romanticized vision. This has to do with, you know, when you enter into a new environment as a leader, you have a dream of what you want to do.
Yes.
And what you want to accomplish. And how you want to show that the previous guys did not know what they were doing. And so you come with this idealistic vision of where you want to take the organization and how it is going to happen. And you can see it. You can see it happening. And sometimes it is beyond reality, because some of the things that you want to achieve within 1 year, a few months, even in your 2-3 years, some of them require years for them to happen.
Yeah.
Because the reality of just the technical reality, even if you had all the resources, there's just practical things that cannot happen.
Mm.
So if, for example, you are putting up a 20-story building, even if you have the whole budget with you, you can't put up that building in 3 days.
True. Process.
There's a process.
Mm.
There's a process that is slow,
yes,
that is tedious, that will take months, sometimes it takes years. So it doesn't matter that you have the resources, you have the right people, you have the good contractor. There are things, a baby has to take 9 months to be born.
True.
If you are a, even if you are a miracle worker.
Mm-mm.
Yes.
No miracle babies.
There are miracle babies.
Yeah.
So if the baby comes earlier, is known as a premature baby.
Mm.
Premature.
Yes.
You know?
Mm.
In other words, they were not mature enough to come out into the world.
Mm.
And that's those are some of the realities that sometimes we face as young leaders, as new leaders.
Mm.
There are these things that you want to happen now.
Yes.
You want to them to happen immediately. Then you discover you need 9 months to give birth to this baby.
Mm.
And it can be a very frustrating experience.
Yeah.
So romanticized vision is this being in this bliss and building castles in the air and imagining that you can move everything within no time. And then you get yourself into that place where you realize that these things can just happen.
Yeah.
A relative of the same is impatience. This now particularly for younger leaders.
Mm.
For younger leaders, people who are just entering into the leadership space, impatience. You want to be where people took 20 years to get to. You want to be there
now. Yeah. Not today, now.
Now.
Yeah.
So you find these kinds of people at a personal level. Now I'm talking about personal level.
Yes.
No, the other one was organization. Level.
Mm.
This is at a personal level.
Mm.
So you have heard this is what CEOs drive. This is what where CEOs live. This is how they entertain their guests. And this is how, you know, and you want to be there.
Now.
What you don't know is that the CEO you are comparing yourself with has been there for 20 years, has been there for 30 years, has been there for 15 years. And they have built some of these things over time.
Mm.
And so it took them time to get where they are.
Mm.
But you want to get there now.
Mm.
And this causes many young leaders to make blunders. They get into debts, they get into wrong kinds of deals. These are the people who become our clients at ESCC.
They want quick fixes. Huh?
Because they want quick things, quick resources and quick development. And again, sad to say, but we have seen it here in our country. When the new current government came into leadership, you saw many of the younger leaders. Oh my goodness. They were moving around with all kinds of things and showing you how, you know, we have arrived. We, you know, the dressing and the driving and the luxury and pomp. And they thought we would be impressed.
Mm.
They were very shocked when we were not.
And you know, online space is very big. So they are showing us there.
Yes.
And the online in-laws and friends, they don't care.
They don't bite.
Mm.
They didn't bite. We didn't bite.
Yeah.
But this happens to all of us as leaders because we want to show people that I have arrived. You know, I'm not an ordinary person that you've been looking at. I'm different now.
Yeah.
You don't know the spaces where we sit. The people that we interact with.
Yeah.
You know? Those temptations are there in the spring season. Yes.
A question comes to mind. I know you're mentioning this impacts younger leaders. Could it also impact the example that comes to head that I'd love to use is in the political space, we have people of all ages wanting to vie. Would an old, mature person also find themselves in this space? Assume they are vying for a political seat.
You know, seasons don't distinguish between children and
adults.
When you enter into a season, when spring comes, it comes for everybody. The young, the old, you know. It's for everybody.
Yes.
It's just that how different people maneuver that space and live in that space is different. The younger people tend to be more vulnerable to the seasons, and the old, much older people also tend to be vulnerable. The in-between sometimes it's easier to navigate some of these seasons.
Okay.
So, yes, older people is still the same. You see them. Because you see, sometimes leadership takes you, you have been a leader for several years in a particular area.
Yes.
Now, spring for you will be entering into a totally new, different space.
Yes.
Where you have not been before.
Mm.
It could be a space that you have been aspiring to get into, but has taken you this many years to get there, you know, or it could be a place where you are not expected.
Mm-hmm.
You had not thought you could get here, and you are invited into that particular space.
Mm-hmm.
And so it comes to you as a surprise.
Yes.
It is not like these ones that you grow into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you are promoted from one level to another, it doesn't shock you as much, and it doesn't generally impact you the same way that what we are talking about. But people who have moved and you have been appointed into a place where you had not been before, something that you had even never imagined you could be there, then you will experience the same kind, irrespective of how old you are.
Okay.
Yes. And we have seen older people who have been leadership for a very long time, and then they enter into a place where now there is prominence, there are luxuries, there are recognitions, and so on. They behave almost the same way, you know.
Sad to say.
Yes.
So
the seasons don't discriminate. It's just that how they impact different individuals vary.
Yes.
From one person to another, from different generation to another.
Mm.
Yeah. So it varies, but it impacts you the same.
Okay.
Yeah. I have talked about the desire for recognition. It is related to the first one.
Mm.
Because of your pride and arrogance and this feeling you are on top of the world, there also comes with it a desire for recognition. And I have seen leaders especially again where I am now in the space of government, I found it very different from where we were in charge.
Yes.
Very different. Where titles matter. Where recognition is so important. I attend a lot of public gatherings.
Mm-hmm.
We organize a lot of meetings where we bring different people from different sectors together.
Yes.
I'm still getting used to the idea of protocols. You can spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes just reading protocols.
Yeah.
And you have to know the pecking order.
Oh my.
So that you know who is number one and who is going to be the last. And if you mix them, you are in trouble. So, and some people take it personally. Some people even will come and tell you, by the way, I'm honorable. Oh. I am not just doctor.
Oh, sorry.
You know, somebody says, I am FCS.
Wow.
And somebody says, you know, I'm engineer, so on and so on.
So
the titles become very important, and you have to recognize them.
Mm.
You have to mention them. And people come to the meeting and they leave. They will never come to your meeting again.
Because of that.
You didn't recognize them.
Oh, wow.
I came, but you didn't even mention that I was there. Those things are very are very hard. I said it's different, but now even in church, I know I have been in places where we are church leaders. And somebody says, you know, by the way, I'm reverend.
Not pastor.
Not pastor. I am bishop. I am apostle. I am doctor.
Oh, yes.
I am the archbishop. And I've been told that on my face, you know, because you didn't address this person correctly.
Yes.
In my view, that shows a sense of immaturity. Because you are you. Yes, I am. You know, I can't remember any time I ever introduced myself by my title. I am Bishop Oginde, or I am Dr. Oginde, or I'm
Right Reverend.
Right Reverend. And, because that's not me.
Yeah.
I am David Oginde. Other people can give me those titles. They call me chair, they call me reverend, they call me pastor, they call me bishop, they call me whatever.
Yes.
Go ahead and call me that. Call me doctor. Amen. But for me to now rise up and say I'm doctor so and so, it sounds strange. I'm bishop so and so. It sounds strange because that's not me. But then there's nothing wrong. What I would consider a bit out of place is when you demand it. When now you somebody was introducing you and say, Pastor Oginde is here to speak to us. And when I wake up, I say, by the way, I'm bishop.
Bishop doctor.
Yes, I'm bishop doctor.
Yes.
No, because... all bishops are pastors, or all bishops should be pastors.
Yes.
So if you call me pastor when I'm a bishop, it is still correct because I'm a shepherd. The other one is an office. The other one is a role and responsibility. I am a pastor first before I am
a bishop.
The bishop. So what's the big deal?
Yeah, you know, I've remembered one day we went for a meeting. And we were part of the protocol team. And we were having various people, from church leaders to government officials and all that. We'll not forget, I was shocked. One of the fathers, let me say fathers and mothers of the city, that we don't know who they are, whom we had invited, and was, first of all, by the time they're coming, they have sent a protocol team. And they are keen on where is the servant of God sitting. So we showed they are sitting at this place. They said, no, the caliber of the servant of God coming has to sit next to the guest of honor. We tried, they insisted, no, okay, so let's push them near. So we thought that is done. They're like, no, they need a waiting area. I'm like, but you're a servant of God. Just come sit where you need to sit. It was a lot of drama. And the shock I had is that even in church we have those. You're just a servant of God. Come sit where you've been designated to sit. It doesn't matter, even if it's at the back or the front. So the way you're explaining, recognition is key. And I think one of the people we were serving with messed and called them pastor.
Oh.
They were told things. And it impacted the way we handled protocol for every other person who came that day.
Right.
Yeah. So to could me, you speak to church leaders? You know, for church, the expectation is humility.
You know, Jesus even used to refuse. You call me teacher. Why are you calling me teacher? Somebody say, good teacher. Why are you calling me good?
Yes.
You know? But for us, we want to be the greatest prophet.
Oh, yeah.
The mighty apostle. To me, it is a sense of immaturity. That person is in spring. They have not moved in their leadership.
Mm.
Yeah, because you have to get to that place where titles don't matter. It is the impact that you have.
Mm.
It is how are you impacting the lives of people.
Yes.
When you honor people, people honor you.
True.
But you can't demand it. Mm-mm. You can't demand it.
Mm.
The dear sister I was talking about was demanding recognition. And that was the end of her leadership journey.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
So we must move from the spring leadership season.
Mm. Yes.
Paul says, when I was a child, mm-hmm. I thought like a child. I talked like a child.
Yes.
But now, mm. I have moved from that space.
Mm.
We must move from those childish behaviors. Children want to be recognized. They will scream at the corner if you don't pay attention.
Very true. And even come and tell you,
yeah,
look at me.
Look at me. Mm. Especially if you are talking to another child and they are feeling, hey, mommy is not paying attention to me. They will make sure that you do.
Yes.
So, but we are not there. We are leaders.
Yeah.
We are now leaders. Jesus said, when you go to a meeting, a seminar, a conference, a church gathering, a prayer meeting, sit at the back. If somebody recognizes you and calls you and says, hey, Bishop, come and sit over here, then that's good. Rather than you come and patch yourself up in the front seat. And then now the protocol team have to come and whisper in your ear, now, this was reserved for so and so.
No, I also have the same anointing as them. That's what somebody said. You're
creating drama for no good reason.
Yeah.
You're creating drama for no good. That is not leadership.
Mm.
Leadership is service.
Okay.
Leadership is service.
Mm.
Yeah. Another danger that faces leaders in the spring season is overextension.
Mm, what does that mean?
Overextension?
Mm.
In our desire to prove ourselves, in our desire to show that we can do it, we overreach. We go into things that are beyond our capacity.
Mm.
So you attempt things that are not within your capacity. So in the end, what happens is that many of us in that space get tired very quickly.
Yes.
We suffer burnout. Mm. You overwork yourself because of this desire to prove yourself. So you work longer hours, you go into places that are really demanding, you start projects that are too big, and all that is to just prove yourself and show yourself that you are capable and you are able.
Mm.
And so you overextend yourself.
Yeah.
This particularly happens to people who are taking over from successful leaders.
Mm.
You know? And you are aware that my predecessor did very well.
Yes.
And people know it.
Mm.
And so you want to show that I can do better than him or her.
Mm.
So in the process of so doing, you overreach.
Yes.
You overextend.
Mm.
You overcommit.
Mm.
You over and you over.
Mm.
And that could actually end you up in your failure.
Mm.
Because of that attempt to outdo your predecessor. Just come in with your shoes.
Mm.
If they had big shoes, come in with your smaller ones. If they had small shoes, come in with your big ones.
Mm.
And be yourself. Yes. Do your thing.
Mm.
You may not be as successful as they are, but the impact you are creating is your impact.
Yes.
Not their impact.
Mm-mm.
God has chosen you for such a time as this. To do your portion.
Mm.
I get so amazed when I read the book of Kings and Chronicles. Some led for less than a year, but they're in the list of kings.
Yes.
Some led for 50, 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
They are also in the book of Kings.
Yes.
So you're a king. If it was for a few months, amen.
Yes.
It is God who determines how long
you
will serve.
Yes.
So serve for your season.
Mm.
Do your thing.
Mm.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Have the impact that you're supposed to have. Don't compete with others.
Mm.
That can get you to overreach yourself, overextend yourself.
Okay.
Right.
Wow, we have to pause here for a break, but I'm thinking this overextension is a really powerful one because it seems like you're putting pressure on yourself. It's sort of internal pressure to prove for who?
For the people.
I wish people.
The observers.
We appreciate you for still being here with us, and we look forward to hearing from you. What are you learning? What are you being challenged on? What new thing have you heard? And what are you committing to do with this information that you've had as a seasoned leader and also as an upcoming leader? Remember, you can engage with us on 0717-400-555 or 20933. Or at Hope FM Live at Hope TV Kenya, and also on our podcast. You can drop there a comment or the question you have, and we'll be so happy to hear from you. Allow me to bring back Bishop Dr. David Oginde with us on the Leadership Forum today. We stopped at telling leaders to stop overextending because that will give you burnout.
Could give you burnout.
There is no need of trying to do things to please people. Stick to your lane and bring impact that God has allowed you to. So we could pick it up from there.
Let me finish this season with a few examples. Some from the Bible and maybe also from real life.
Yes.
Joseph, in the Bible, Joseph, son of Jacob. He comes into the family as a late born.
Yes.
And the father obviously likes him, and the Bible says the father likes him.
Yes.
And he knows that the father likes him.
Mm.
So the Bible says that whenever he went out with his brothers, he would bring a report about them.
Yes.
And usually a negative report about them. So that caused the brothers not to like him.
Yes.
And then now, on top of that, there are dreams.
Yes.
So when he gets this dream, he goes to tell his brothers, tell his parents. It is not the telling, it is how he told it.
Yes.
It tells you a spring leader.
Mm.
It, because you see, I was in this dream, and the stars were all falling before me.
Mm.
You know, he's telling you, know, you people, you don't know what is coming. Mm. I'm going to rule over you.
Yeah.
And these people get very angry at him that he would imagine that he can rule over them.
Yes.
The dream was true. That is not the issue. It is how he shared that dream that shows you a springness in leadership.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
When his parents get to hear about this dream, he also tells, he has another dream. But now this time he even sees the moon bowing and the sun.
Yes.
So even the father says, do you think you are going to rule over us? Again, the dream is true. It is how he shares it.
Yes.
That shows that immaturity that happens in spring season. So the conceit, the arrogance, the pride, that eventually causes people to hate him. And this sometimes happens when we are leaders, particularly gifted leaders. You have dreams, you have ideas, you have a capacity, you can do things better than the rest of the people. That is not the problem. The problem is, how are you relating with your team? How are you relating with your colleagues? How are you relating with other people?
Yes.
Are you making them feel small? Are you making them feel like they are useless? You are the gifted one. You are the wise one. You are the one who knows everything. That will not earn you respect. It will earn you hatred.
Yes.
And so sometimes then people begin to rise up against you and you say they are just jealous. You know?
And you forget you are the problem.
Yes, you forget that you could be the problem.
Yeah.
So we get to that place where we are saying, no, these people are just jealous. They know I'm so gifted. They know I'm achieving so much. And now they're, no, it could be, how are you treating them?
Yeah.
How are you relating with the people? How are you communicating these gifts and talents and successes that you are having?
Yes.
Is it in a manner to show them that you people, you know nothing? I'm the one who was having dreams. Very soon you'll be sold into slavery. Very soon you'll be thrown into the pit.
Yeah.
And so you will be crying there, but you're in the pit. They have removed you from your position. And some of our leaders have found themselves in that kind of a place.
Yes.
Where they could not hold showing that they know it all. They are gifted and they can do it. And bringing other people down in the process. And you are new. Joseph was new in the family.
Very new.
He was the last born.
Yes.
Of 12.
Yes.
You know, so he should have learned to live and to learn from these older brothers.
Yes.
Even when he has dreams, you know, he could go and ask, hey, by the way, you people, there's this thing that was coming to me when I was asleep. I was in a dream. I don't know what it means.
Yes.
Maybe you people know, you can tell me. They will be happy to tell you what your dream is, and they may actually tell you the truth. And perhaps encourage you to nurture the dream. The time will come. But when you say, I saw you people bowing before me, they will sell you. They will put you into the pit. So Joseph was that naive young leader in the spring season.
Yes.
You find him later, and we are going to talk about the summer. You find him later in the summertime of his life, a totally different man. So that when his brothers now come to him and they are so embarrassed, they are so ashamed at what they did, and they are they're so apologetic, he tells them, no, don't worry. You people may have meant it for evil, but this was God's work. He meant it for good, that he may save the people. He's a totally different person.
Even the tone.
He's a very different person. Why? He has gone through the pits.
Yeah.
He has gone through prison. He has been hated. He has matured
yes.
in the process. And you find that with the leaders who have gone through seasons. They are very different. They don't even realize the gifts they have and how gifted they are. And so you are observing and say, wow, you are such a gifted person. And they're saying, you know,
this is good.
It is so simple. David in the wilderness as a young person also. Indeed, he had killed the lion, he had killed the bear. Now he comes to his brothers and he sees how things are happening and he say, why are people trembling here? Why are you not dealing with this guy? You know?
Yeah.
I'm going to deal with this guy. Now, it is again how he says it,
yes.
not what he says.
No.
Both Joseph and David, what they were saying was true.
Yes.
It is how he said. And now the brothers also hate him.
Yes.
Because they say, you go and look after the sheep. So he said, no, but what will be given to a man who can take this guy?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So again, David in his spring season,
yes,
is that kind of a person.
Mm-hmm.
But God takes him again also through the winter. Mm-hmm. By the time he is coming back into leadership, David is one of the most humble men in terms of the kings in the Bible.
Yes.
He could not harm a fly, you know, especially when it came to his personal issues.
Yes.
When it came to the things of God, he was ruthless.
Mm.
You know, he did not spare the sword.
Mm-mm.
If you cross the path of God, you have crossed the line and David will deal with you perpendicularly.
Mm.
But when it came to himself, he was like, let them do what they want, you know. This time when they were hurling curses at him, he says, who knows, but God told them to come and curse me. He never put up a fight for himself.
Yes.
Because he has walked these various seasons of life. And he has realized that there's a sense of humility that takes you farther than arrogance,
yes,
and pride.
Mm.
Moses, in his spring season, goes out, sees these Egyptians really terrorizing his fellow Jews, and he wants to do something about it. He goes out and chops off somebody's leg. He later comes and he finds now the two Jews are fighting, and he says, "What? How can you people fight? You are brothers." And they ask him, "Who?" Again, it is not what he does, it is how he does it.
Yes.
Ends him up out of the palace into the wilderness.
Yes.
40 years later, God comes to him and he has no confidence even in himself. That's arrogance and confidence and everything that he was coming out to save the world has gone.
Yes.
Now he doesn't want to hear about that. He's like, no, you send somebody else.
Yes.
You know, send somebody else. And when God finally persuades him to go, he's a very powerful leader who can even talk face to face with God and yet very humble. In fact, the Bible says he was the most humble man on the face of the earth. Have gone through seasons of life that have made him to the person that he was.
Yes.
Nelson Mandela, if you have read his story, many of us know Nelson Mandela of the 1990s, of when he came out of prison. But the Nelson Mandela who started the revolution as a young student of law and later a graduate of law was very radical, was very almost careless, we can say, in the things that he did and the way that he did, that eventually ended him up being captured and put in prison.
Yeah.
He escaped death very, very narrowly.
Mm.
27 years in prison, and he comes out a totally different man.
Yes.
So when everybody is saying, it's the time to revenge, it's the time to beat these guys, it's the time to get rid of them, he's saying, no, we can't do that.
Yes.
And these people are very disappointed because we thought, what happened to Nelson Mandela that we knew? He has gone through seasons of life and realized that leadership is not about fighting and about arrogance and about throwing people out. Leadership is about drawing people in.
Yes.
And what made Nelson Mandela such a powerful leader was that in the midst of all that hatred and division within the country, he was able to bring people together and hold people together and did not revenge as people had expected. The whites who had thought now our time is finished. Mm. We are done for. They were packing their things to go. He called them back to stay on and let's build this nation together.
Yes.
And people were just surprised.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
They were just surprised at this person. So the spring season can get you into a place where you are rough and tough and trying to show this and trying to prove that. But it may end you up in prison. It may end you up in out in the streets.
Mm.
It may end you up wherever,
yes.
You know, so that you can be seasoned a bit more, you know. I am sure that some of the people that we talked about earlier, if they were to be given same positions of leadership, they would be totally different people.
Yes.
They would be a totally different kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because life has, with time, hopefully,
taught them some lessons.
Yes. Taught them some lessons.
Mm.
So the leadership in spring, what, in my view, lessons that we can learn there, is that visibility can destroy a leader.
Mm.
Especially when you have come from the back of beyond, and then you are thrust into the limelight.
Mm.
If you are not careful, you can be destroyed by that very opportunity that was to take you to the next level.
Mm.
Success sometimes can expose our weaknesses.
Mm.
So we get into a place we are very, very successful and we think we are the ones. But that can expose exactly where our weaknesses lie.
Yeah.
Exposure to power can show our immaturity. And we have talked about people who you perhaps really respected and then they are given power.
Mm.
Oh my God. Then you realize this guy was just a baby. This guy was just so a child. He was just so immature.
Mm.
So power can sometimes expose our immaturity if it gets us at the springtime.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. With the biblical examples you've given, Bishop, and also with Nelson Mandela, it almost feels like every leader must be on the look concerning this spring season. Maybe surround yourself with people who will level your head. Here you're becoming proud, humble.
Take it easy.
Their power imekuingia sana.
Yes.
Release. Just purpose to grow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. True. The reason that we discuss these things is so that it may help somebody.
Yeah.
You don't have to go through what everybody has gone through.
True.
You don't have to go through the pit that Joseph went through.
Mm.
Joseph is there to
for us to learn.
To learn from.
Yeah.
Mandela is there for us to learn from.
Yes.
So we discuss this so that you can take a moment, take a retreat, and have a meeting with yourself. And especially if you are in that spring season, ask yourself, how am I conducting myself?
Mm.
How am I treating people that are around me?
Mm.
How am I providing leadership? That can help you to be sober.
Mm.
So you don't have to go through the same problem that other people have gone through.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. That's well noted.
That's well noted. That's well noted.
Okay.
That's well noted.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm.
So let's now go to summer.
Mm.
Yes, let's go to summer. Summer is a season of strength. Summer is a season of fruitfulness. Summer is a season of productivity. It is the hottest season for those people who come from these seasons of time. But it's also the brightest season. By this time now, the plants have grown and they're in full bloom and, you know, everything is nice. It is usually, if you have lived in Western world, this Northern Hemisphere, you know that summer is the happiest time in their lives.
Yes.
In fact, in many of those countries, summer is holiday time. So people shut down and go and enjoy themselves. Because spring has brought up all these nice things that now you can begin to enjoy in the summer season. Those people who survive the spring and make good use of it also enjoy the summer. The leaders who conduct themselves rightfully and take into account all the things you have talked about, they enjoy the blessing of summer.
Yes.
You begin to see the fruit of your labor. You begin to see your efforts bearing fruit. You enjoy good relationships with your colleagues, with your leaders, with the people that you serve, your stakeholders.
Yes.
People come to you and tell you, we really like what you are doing. You know, it feels very nice.
Very nice.
It's very nice. So summer is a season of abundance, is a season of energy, activity, and things that make life good.
Yes.
And those who get into that space of summer are very happy people in their leadership. Your team members are happy with what you are doing. The initiatives that you took, you can see them bearing fruit.
Yes.
The progress is coming. It is a very nice space. And when we are in leadership, we get into those kinds of times, those seasons, when things are just the way expected. Things go the way you thought. There may be still a few challenges here and there, but by and large, you are enjoying growth.
Yes.
You are enjoying favor. You are enjoying success. You are enjoying good relationships. You are on top of the moon. And we could be talking with someone, you know, who is in that season, you know, who is just, life cannot be better. Recently, I was talking to a young professional.
Yes.
They had just been in this new place of leadership. And they are saying, you know what? I am in the best place I can ever be.
Yes.
This is my dream job with a dream team, with a dream boss, with a dream everything. I can't ask for more.
Yes.
I said, enjoy it, my dear. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it.
Yes.
And those seasons come. You know, life is not about just doom and gloom.
Yes.
And, you know, there are seasons when you really enjoy yourself. I've been in those places where everything seemed to be working. Favor of God, you know, with people. You are entering spaces where you never imagined you could be in. You are talking with people you never imagined you could talk to. When the results come, you look at them and you are saying, wow, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our sight.
Yes.
Those seasons are there. Life can get you into the summer season. And it is a very, very happy experience. You know?
Yes.
It's a very happy experience.
Mm.
So when you are in that summer season as a leader, again, I would say that it is a very... Let me first say something before I say what I wanted to say. Something that has just come to mind. There are Christians, particularly, because this is a Christian station, particularly Christians, but even other people who have suffered in their lives so long. They have struggled in life for so long that they never imagine that there can come a time when things can just be smooth and nice.
Yeah.
There are some Christians and there are some people who, when they get into the summer season, they feel uncomfortable. Because life has to be hard. Life is about struggling. Maisha ni kung'ang'ana. So when they're in summer season,
yes,
they feel uncomfortable. Something must be wrong somewhere.
Why are things going smoothly?
Yeah, things are going too smooth here. Yeah, things are going too well.
Are they the ones who will quote, if everything goes smooth, the devil.
The devil is somewhere around the corner. So they just are so uncomfortable. They are feeling like, what could be around the corner? Why are things just going so well?
Yes.
And so the consequence for those people is that they don't enjoy summer. They don't enjoy it because they are waiting for this downfall. They are waiting for this crash. They are waiting for this, you know. And so you can't enjoy because you don't know how long this thing will last.
Yes.
But let me tell you, summer lasts. Summer actually lasts. It's one of the longest seasons in the seasons.
Yes.
So it lasts. For some countries, it begins from around May and takes you all the way to September. You know, it's a long season.
Yes.
For some other countries, this is June to about September again. Enjoy it while it lasts.
True.
Enjoy that season. You have not done anything wrong. No one is setting you up, you know.
Yeah.
It's just that the coordinates have met at the right place, and yes, it is a season of summer.
Yes.
It's a season to celebrate. It's a season to enjoy. It's a season to take time and just thank God for his goodness. And you should not therefore be sitting on edge and feeling, no, I can't enjoy this because I don't know what is coming. I don't want to get used to. No, just enjoy life.
Yeah.
Life is good.
True. Very good.
Life is good. And this happens in our seasons of life also. When we are in seasons of summer where everything seems to be working okay.
Yeah.
Your finances are good. Your children are doing well. Your spouse is calling you love. And
what is the spouse calling before this season? In spring, what was the spouse calling?
This woman that you gave me. Oh, this man. Yeah, mother of my children.
Mama watoto.
Mama watoto.
We mzee.
Mzee yuko. So, you know, you're thinking, wow, this is good. And you can't enjoy it because you feel like there's something, what am I not getting here?
Yeah.
Am I right? No, just enjoy life when it comes. So summer season for some people can be very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
They don't want to enjoy it. They don't want to get used to easy life, you know. Maisha ni kung'ang'ana. So when it comes, you get a bonus and you're wondering, why would I get such a big bonus? What are they up to? What are they cooking? So you are still very uncomfortable and you're not enjoying.
Yeah.
I would like to tell those kinds of people that God, every once in a while, brings us to the summer season.
Amen.
In our lives.
Yes.
Every once in a while, God just turns around and turns the season. And life that has been so difficult now is so nice. And things are connecting in a way that you didn't know. You are getting two job offers that are also very good. And you're like, wow. This is so good. And you don't know what to do. When you are a leader in that space, summer is what Joseph talked to Pharaoh about. And he said, in the time of plenty,
yes,
let's put aside something for the time of drought. So while we are saying enjoy yourself, Summer is a time for consolidation. Mm. Summer is a time for investment.
Mm.
Summer is a time for savings.
Yes.
Summer is a time for putting aside something for the rainy season, you know, like the Europeans say, for the winter when you cannot enjoy life.
Yes.
Summer is a time to think strategically. So people who are wise and clever, they don't enjoy the whole of summer.
Mm.
In celebrations and tours and all these kinds of things, and squander all their resources and opportunities in that time. People who are wise and clever, they know that summer is the time to consolidate. Summer is the time to invest.
Yeah.
Summer is the time to ensure that we prepare for eventualities.
Mm.
So as we celebrate, as we enjoy, we also look at what are some of the things that we may need to put in place now that could help us in the difficult future,
yes,
if and when it comes.
Mm.
So it requires a lot of strategy. It requires good planning and good utilization of the resources that have come your way.
Yes.
And these resources could be finances. These resources could be people who are just so good.
Mm-hmm.
Your organization has been going through very difficult time where people are coming and going, giving you lot of difficulties. And then suddenly you have this team that is just so united. They are working cohesively and everything is moving together, and you're just saying, Lord, this is your doing.
Mm.
That is the time to make sure that you build this team into a powerful force,
yes,
that can survive turbulent times.
Mm.
Build a unity, build a structure and a system that can uphold you in the times of difficulty.
Mm.
So many times leaders have squandered summertime in their celebration. There are many organizations that have squandered their summertime in the course of their celebration. So because summer has a way of blinding you to reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things are so nice.
Mm.
Things are so easy. You can't imagine possibly that you can get into a place where things will not work.
Mm. You know,
we have sorted this out.
Yeah.
You know, the success at Jericho was in summertime.
Yes. Joshua.
Joshua.
Mm.
They have been in the wilderness for 40 years.
Mm. They have crossed Jordan.
They have crossed the Jordan.
Mm.
And they enter Jericho.
Yes.
And things fall on their own.
Mm, no fighting.
No fighting.
Mm.
My friend, you can be so happy.
And sleep in peace.
And sleep in peace.
Yes.
So when they go to Ai, which is the next city, the spies that are sent there to go and check the place, they say, why do you even want to waste resources?
Mm.
It's a tiny city, nothing to compare to Jericho. They are weak. We can just send a, let's send a few people. They will take it over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Summer can be very deceitful.
Yeah.
They were beaten badly.
Yeah.
They were beaten badly.
Mm.
I'm afraid to say that there is a summer that happened in Russia. So they looked at Ukraine and say, we'll go over here. 3 days, we have taken the place. In fact, that's what Putin said. In 3-4 days, they'll have taken Ukraine. It is now 4 years.
Yeah.
They're still fighting. They are getting people from other countries to come and help them.
Fight a small.
To fight a small, tiny AI. Yeah. So, summer can give you false security.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can give you a false security so that you think you have it.
Mm.
You think you have mastered it. You think you you know it. And this can happen in our careers. It can happen in our businesses. It can happen in our jobs. It can happen in our organization. It can happen to a country. We went through summer as a nation. Oh, if you are around in the 80s, the 70s and 80s, we used to call ourselves the Island of Peace. We were the city in the sun. We were the center of the world. When the UN moved here, we couldn't compare ourselves with any other nation in Africa. No? Yeah, and it blinded us to the realities of life. So many nations came and overtook us. And now we are struggling to get our footing in the global space. If we had not done that, we would be so far that no nation in Africa would be talking about us. But we were blinded by summer. When our tea was doing so well, when our coffee was doing so well, when tourism, anybody who had not come to Kenya had not gone on a trip, including the king and queen. I remember those days. I went to Europe. My first trip out of the country was to go to London. And somebody stops me right in the middle of the streets, Oxford Street, where I was just walking around doing window shopping. And this man, a much older person, stops me and says, "Hey, where are you from?" I said, "I'm from Africa." "Where in Africa?" "From East Africa." "From where in East Africa?" "Kenya." And he just grabbed me and hugged me so hard. I still feel it today. "I love your country. I love your country." Everywhere I went, everybody was like, "Oh, you are Kenyan, you are Kenyan." Kenyans didn't need a visa to go anywhere in Europe. I didn't need a visa to go to Europe. You go to Germany, you go to UK, you go to Austria. I went to all these places. No visa. Pick your passport and go as if you are going to a bokeh. That was our summertime.
Yes.
But we squandered it. And summer has that possibility. In your life as an individual, you are doing so well. In your profession, you are doing so well. In your career, you are doing so well in whichever place you are in.
Yes.
And you can imagine that life will always be like that. You can't think of a time when things could change.
Yes.
And you can squander everything that has been given to you. So the uniqueness of summer is that it represents a level of maturity because trees have bloomed, flowers have bloomed, the crops are getting ready for harvest. And for leadership, you are now in that place where you are being given more and more responsibilities.
Yes.
People look up to you as a role model. People look up to you as an advisor. People look up to you as a person who can guide. People want to know, how did you do this? If you're in business, they're asking, how are you able to make it? And as all these people are coming to you, it's a time of great responsibility.
Yes.
Like we have said, it's a time when productivity is good. So this season of fruitfulness gives you authority. So when you speak, people listen.
Yes.
Because you have proved yourself. They have watched you.
Yes.
And people want you in their space. They want you to guest of honor. They want you to come and speak to us.
Yeah.
You know? It's a time when the institution is recognized. Your brand is known by the people. You know, the people don't have to ask, what is that? What's hope? Hope what? You know? Your brand is known when you say, I love that station.
Yeah.
I love that station. It's a time of opportunity to scale up.
Mm.
And that's where many of us miss. Because things are working so well, sometimes we forget that this is a time to scale up.
Mm.
This is a time to venture into new ideas, new territories. So very good leaders take advantage of their summertime to scale up, to innovate, to get into new territories.
Mm.
I think Safaricom has mastered that art. Whatever they put in place is working. That even when they have made these billions, they are still innovating.
Mm.
They are still coming up with new ideas.
Yes.
Some of us, when we get a billion, my friend, you relax. Why?
I've hit target.
You have hit target. Mm. What is let's the problem? Rest. Let's rest, let's rejoice and be merry.
Yeah.
But good leaders, that is the time to invest. That's the time to expand. That's the time to explore new territory. And many great leaders who have led great organizations have learned that secret, that summertime is a time for expansion. Summertime is a time for innovation.
Yes.
Summertime is a time for scaling up. Summertime is a time for review.
Yes.
And saying, how else can we do this thing? This is working, but how else can we do it? So that you keep on the edge.
Yes.
Because after summer, there's going to be the fall. You need to prepare for that. And after the fall, there's going to be winter. So how do you prepare for these two seasons that are coming? They are prepared for during summertime. Yes.
This season feels like it's a bittersweet one. because it's time to celebrate. You've done well, everything is going on well. But also on this other end, don't celebrate too much. You need to forward think and forward plan. Kind of a season, and it calls for the leader really to be alert at this season. That's what I'm picking from what you're saying.
And sweet and sour is very good food, by the way. I love sweet and sour. Even now as I'm talking, I'm thinking if somebody could take me for sweet and sour. Sweet and sour is very good, and that's a very good observation that you have made. And so if you add a little more spices, you spoil it. If you reduce the spices, you spoil it because it becomes bland. So it requires just knowing that balance of how much of the spices do you put in so that you really enjoy this meal. That is a good way of putting it. So don't rejoice too much. Don't celebrate too much.
Yes.
But also don't just be there dull when things are happening.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Enjoy that season. Celebrate. Take your people for outings. Enjoy yourselves and spur them up into the next level. So that is the balance that a leader needs in that season. I agree with you.
Okay.
Yes.
My director is telling us time is up. Can you imagine?
Oh, my.
And you've just started.
You've just started in the summer.
That's summer was so good.
That's what happens. Suddenly you realize, summer is over. But we'll pick it up from there.
Yes.
We'll pick it up from there because now we need to delve into how a leader operates within the summer season.
Yes.
Yes.
Does it also have dangers?
Oh, yes, for sure. Yes. Okay. Some we have already alluded to. Yes.
Okay.
Summer Thank has its dangers.
Okay. I think that's a good place for us to pause and invite our audiences to follow us again next week, but one, on the Leadership Forum. as we talk about seasons of leadership. And by the way, we'd love to hear from you. Are you learning? What have you picked? What are you going to apply? What has challenged you from our session today? Our WhatsApp line 0717-400-555, SMS line 20933, and of course our social media platforms at Hope FM Live, at Hope TV Kenya, and by the way, I'm at Grace Mutiso. You know, my producer said, you always say Unawewe there, and he's at Bishop D. Oginde, right?
Yes,
D. Oginde. It feels nice to say that.
Thank you.
Yes. You could pray for us, Bishop.
Thank you. Lord, we thank you for just giving us opportunity to discuss these issues of leadership. We are praying that somebody is encouraged, somebody is challenged, somebody will reflect, especially those of us who are in your service. Mm-hmm. We have talked about pastors. We've talked about bishops. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we are saying that all these things that we learn here, may we learn to apply them so that we can lead your people aright. If there's anybody who is going through very difficult seasons in their lives, may you help them, Lord. And those of us who may have made mistakes, as you are listening and say, oh yeah, there I blew it, there I didn't know the right thing or say the right thing. That's why you, Jesus, went to the cross. Mm. And you said, when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us. So I pray that you forgive us, Lord, for any errors we have made, any mistakes we have made, any sins we have committed, so that we can serve your people with boldness and confidence. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Thank you, Bishop.
Amen.
Remember to catch a repeat of this program at Hope FM on Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. and anytime at the Hope FM podcast on our website. My name is Grace Butisa. I wish you a blessed time. Have a beautiful afternoon. Bye-bye for now.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning into the Leadership Forum. Join us again on alternate Mondays for deeper insights on leadership. The Leadership Forum, discussing leaders and followers.